Hallelujah, and thank God for the football, Martin.
Turn it up.
Raise it up. You want more? Okay. There it is, there Martin. Go. There you go. Tap that foot right there, Martin. Martin, today on the Sunday service, welcome everybody to the Sunday service. I am Pastor Corey Coleman. Right here we have the Beast of No Nation himself, Martin Thomas. Hey, how y'all doing? He saved your life. He saved your life. He saved your life. And people, some people say today is the day that saves my life. We are talking about religion today. Oh, no, not Christianity. Oh, no, not. Oh, y'all talking about that Muslim show? No, no, no. We're talking about the football, Martin. Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl 2017.
It's 51, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, sure. They don't pay me to remember that shit. People, how you doing? Today, we are going to talk about all things Super Bowl. Mostly in the past, it's going to be a Super Bowl-themed show. We're going to be talking about memorable Super Bowl moments, Martin. We're going to be talking about past commercials. Some are good. Most are bad. And Martin, because those are the most interesting ones.
Sure.
And Martin, we're also going to be discussing some very, very memorable, even though people have tried to forget these halftime moments during Super Bowl. And I'm telling you.
Is there a lot?
Man, you don't know. Y'all thinking, man, shit, I know everything about the Super Bowl. You don't know. There's some shit that I looked at and I was like, this exists? This actually happened?
Because all I remember is Janet Jackson.
And that's the thing about it. Y'all thought that they talk about wardrobe malfunction. Y'all need to be thankful for that titty. After y'all see what happened with these halftime shows, y'all gonna wish there was a titty in every halftime show. Because
I already do.
No, I wish I had two. Just two big titties out on the screen, out on the field. Just all the football players out there like jumping castles out there, each one on one boob. You know, people, here's the thing. Y'all know how it is. I was saying this before the show. Let's quit fooling ourselves. Everybody is into the football right now. If you don't, then it's almost sacrilegious itself. Blasphemous not to be into football, especially here in Texas.
It is a big deal in Texas. I mean, it's the southern states especially. But they love it on that high school level where they get crazy.
Oh.
If you're a high school coach, your team is losing, they will come and give you not so subtle notices to move out.
Oh, in Texas, they'll give the death penalty. They'll kill your ass. Whenever Jesus decides to come back, don't ever come back here in Texas. Mm-hmm. They say you better get a fucking ball in your hand and come back.
Yeah, if you live in a town with no black people, the Klan will show up to your door because they got nothing else to do.
Hell yeah, Nell Lynch Jesus. You know, it's funny how y'all talk about this. I was telling people right before the show, I said, if Jesus was standing right here next to Tom Brady and you had a guy who said, he put a gun in your head and said, shoot one of them. I don't care which one. Let's be honest. Y'all shoot Jesus straight in his fucking head. Y'all, like Martin said, man, you got the power to regenerate.
You come back before.
I mean, Tom Brady's good.
We can't lose him.
Yeah, he's good, but he ain't that good. You know, but you, man, come on. You got some pull.
So we know they would shoot Jesus, but the question is, how long would they take to decide?
Oh, they wouldn't.
They could be that quick.
It'd be like, either
you have to shoot one, plam.
It would, yeah.
Oh.
Either shoot Tom Brady or, oh, you shit is done already? Yeah, shit. I mean, come on, man. Don't tell me you weren't thinking the same thing. Shit, this wasn't even a choice. I mean, come on, y'all.
I got no love for Tom Brady.
And that is why we are talking about, we live in Texas right here, and that's why we're going to be talking about I like the way we're talking about Jesus. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Everybody like, hey, man, I ain't saying shit just in case.
Yeah, I don't want to get in on this.
I like the
if
way
we get struck down, it's gonna get y'all too.
Yeah, shit, they're gonna burn this whole motherfucker down. You shouldn't be here if that's the case. I like everybody's in that picture, man. That ain't right, man. I ain't saying shit about Jesus.
Move on to the next thing.
Yeah, quiet as hell. Everybody just frozen. Like Jesus is gonna walk in any moment. Yeah, now y'all let's sit out here. But the moment we're talking about Jesus, everybody like, no, can't do
that
it.
That was
now.
Dumb.
Like Jesus gonna walk in. Hey, what y'all talking about? Man, that's motherfucking over there saying that shit. Ain't me. Every time I say Jesus, get quiet here. Jesus. And people just be like smiling, say Jesus, like freezing. Shit, maybe I don't move. Jesus won't see me laughing.
Like a velociraptor.
Yeah. I wonder if he knows I'm laughing on the inside. Fuck. Get out of my head, Jesus. Yeah. Now y'all fucked up. Y'all laugh. See? Now y'all all going down with us.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Said, I'm going down. They all going. Hey, let me see what's here. Oh, yeah, people, let me go ahead and welcome. Welcome to the show this evening. Oh, it's not even evening. It's in the middle of the day. I keep forgetting we're doing an early show. You know, I'm glad to have
the people. Look at you doing an early show.
I know, for a change. And that'd be the last time I do that. I had to get up this morning, man.
Oh,
I was tired.
10 o'clock?
Yeah. No, 9:30. Oh. It was hard. It was hard. Now, look at him. Oh, now, look at Jesus. Now you're calling his name. Jesus, you believe this motherfucker over here? But, yeah, man, I got up early. I keep forgetting that we're doing this. So forgive me if I'm actually missing some things sometimes, such as I'm forgetting to give my welcome to the backbone of not only this community, but of this site, this business. Of course, I'm talking about the Chat-a-Tat-Tat. How y'all doing right there? Oh, Martin, they pulling out all your pictures right there.
All right.
But, no, don't you jump on there, Martin. Now, you know better come here look like you just got through a guerrilla warfare. You know? You near eat at me and say, you know they're going to do this, man. I like it. Don't get me wrong. Oh,
of course you like
it. Yeah, I know. I love it, man. Man, you.
What you got to say?
No, you
get over here.
Man, you a decorated general, man. I'm looking at you. Shit, that's respect, man, I'm talking about right there. And, of course, even though we have a lot of people here in the studio, we have a lot of people in the chat today, I can't forget the people out there who, you know, I know you're there. I see you. I never call you out. I don't say anything. Just let you sit there. But today is time to change that. I'm sick of you sitting back there looking all weird
and
creepy.
They don't move.
Yeah.
If they don't move, you won't see them.
Yeah. I see you. Look at you. Blink your eyes right now. Yeah, I see you. Let's go ahead and change that today. Yeah, we're good people. We'd like to have you here on the show. And it's very easy. You know, this is the thing about the Church of Bullshit, Martin. All other churches require that you get in your car and you drive there, or get there one way or another. We don't
not
do
us.
That. No, not us. The Church of Bullshit has gone internet, taking advantage of that technology. So you got no excuse. Pull out that keyboard on a phone, a laptop, anything, and type in kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz at gmail.com. You email us if you got questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the church today, and you should, in that email, put your phone number in there, put your Skype contact in there, anything else you think we might need to get a hold of you and press in, bam, Martin, hallelujah, we're up in your home talking to you, the only church in the world that brings the spirit to you. Hey, on that Twitter at KCoolMan, I need to change this and put the Instagram on there at Double Toasted Fan Page, which Sammy does a great job at. On the Facebook, type in Double Toasted. Or if you'd like some private prayer time with me, type in Corey Coleman, that's with a K, and I will come right down from the heavens and help you out. But if I'm busy, General Thomas.
I have time on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoPro, or just look for Martin Thomas on Facebook.
And if you can, now we make it easy for you to do it on the internet, but I'm sure you would like to come down to the now world famous Church of Bullshit, the Double Toaster Studios. Join us here by emailing me at kcoolmans@gmail.com. You let me know if you're going to be visiting Austin. You're going to be moving to Austin because you like it that much. You already live here. Change that. Email me at kcoolmans@gmail.com. Give me some details. I'll give you some details. We'll coordinate with each other in that way. Oh, let me try out this new chair. I can accommodate you. Oh, shit. Oh, I'm gone.
That's
I'm looking at you. I lose.
Now we kiss.
Stop right on Sammy, man. Oh. Boom, boom, ba-doom, oh, folks. As I said, we want to go ahead and get you out of here so you can get on with your Super Bowl Sunday, which is why we're doing this early today. So before we get into all things Super Bowl related, let me go ahead and tell you about what we're doing, our own little super events. And let me see what we got here. You know, folks, I told you, a favorite pastime here of the Double Toasted crew is to get drunk. And sometimes we look at each other like, man, Martin, I love you, brother, but I'm just tired of looking at you getting drunk. I need to see
some new people get drunk.
Exactly. I need some variety drunkenness in my life. So can you help us out with that, people? Because when we get tired of looking at each other, that's when we come to look at you. We actually pack up everything, come to your town, and have pub crawls. And we're going to do that in Dallas, February 18th. We're going to have a show over at the live show. We're bringing all the equipment over there and doing a live show at the High and Tight in Deep Ellum. I'm going to go ahead and make a, Well, we already have a Facebook page. I'll put that up. Denise was nice enough to make that. And I'll give you the address and everything. But all you need to know is High and Tight. You say, well, that's a barbershop. Damn, y'all are struggling. No, no, go to the back. Damn, y'all going to do a barbershop quartet too?
By the silvery moon, by the silvery moon.
Not, I want a spoon.
What the damn, could you just fuck that off? But, yeah, in the back, they have a speakeasy going on. So you go back there, they got a bar and with a stage, sound equipment, everything. We're going to be doing our show for you there. So please come on out and join us. And that's going to be, if you look at the Eventbrite page, that's going to be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And at 8 p.m., we're going to go ahead and take a break, have everybody go out there, get something to eat, you know, so you can get some stuff in your stomach to soak all that. Get a haircut while you're shaving a haircut. And then when you do that, look nice and pretty when you go out on that pub crawl. And then we're going to hit up three bars after that. That's going to start at 9 o'clock-ish. We'll make sure that we have everybody. And then we're just going to keep going until everything stops, until they tell us we can't go no more. You might even have, at the end of the night, a performance by the great Tone Royal.
I can't wait to see that.
Oh, the drunk ass Tone. Yeah. Tone Deaf Royal.
All the ladies in the house say, oh!
He's rapping with his back to the audience. Rapping to a mural.
Yeah. Come on, motherfuckers. But y'all see me up there?
But yeah, man, we're going to go out and do that. And the reason why I'm showing you the Eventbrite page is because on the Eventbrite page, we have donations that we're taking for the pub crawl. And the reason why we need that is because we need to be able to get an Airbnb for the equipment. I mean, I know it seems like we're trying to sit up here and just gouge money out of you. That's not it. I mean, this is a business, and we have to go ahead and not lose money on things. So in order for us to come out and see you, we have to go ahead and pay for certain things. So we're not asking to make a whole lot of profit or anything. We're just asking for the Airbnb so that we can – we don't want to sell tickets for this. That's one of the things I didn't want to do. So if y'all can just donate a dollar or more, go to partydt.com, and the Eventbrite page will pop right up. Dollar or more. Or if you have any service or anything valuable that you want to donate, like one person donated a hotel room and somebody else donated prizes for the games that we'll have at the live event. So – get creative, but money is always helpful.
Is the hotel close to the High and Tight?
I don't know. I mean, I think that we can get one near the High and Tight, so I have to work out the details with that. If we get a, we got choices.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So L.A. is shaping up to be pretty good right now. Money is coming in at this moment, and we will be selling tickets for that, but we'll worry about that a little bit later after
we get
this
function. Is that still looking like April 22nd?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And Sammy and I are going to be in
Orlando,
and that's going to be what, May 5th?
Cinco de Mayo.
And what we're going to do is we're going to be there for what's it called, the big YouTube thing?
Fuck if I know
event there. No, it's a huge YouTube event thing that's going on, and we're going.
I used to know the name of it.
Yeah, I forgot what it was. I looked at it, and I should know because it's where all the YouTube stars come in. I mean, I'm not saying we're one of them, but all the YouTube stars come in, and we have a panel that we're going to be doing there, and Sammy's going to be there doing some networking with you guys, and I'm going to be there just doing what I do, getting fucked up, and we're going to have a get-together for you guys, I guess. Not a get-together, just a meet and greet. I mean, if anybody wants to be there, wants to meet us at a bar, then we'll come on out and meet you guys there.
Playlist Live.
Playlist Live. That's what it is. Yeah, big YouTube thing. And thanks to our partner, Broadband TV, who actually got us that event right there. We're very thankful for it. They're going to be flying us out. So we'll see you on Cinco de Mayo. I'll bring the 12-pack of Bud. You know, so that is the national drink of Cinco de Mayo, I think.
Is it?
No. Okay. I'm just being racist right now. But let's see here what we got. Somebody in the chat says, Sammy and Corey in Florida. Oh, shit. You know we're going to end up yelling at each other before we get back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen, but so somehow, some way, some.
You're going to say a lot of stuff that you're going to feel bad about.
Yeah. That's every day. So I'm used to it. Sammy's used to it right now, too. Shit, that's the thing I tell everybody. That's the only thing when I'm really friends with someone that's on the site and they like what we do, and then somehow they cross that line to come over here and be a part of this crew. You know, they things change immediately.
Oh, yeah. all their hopes and dreams about hanging out with Fun Corey, who's so nice and so accommodating, that just goes right out the window.
That shit is gone. You know, because everybody says, you know, on screen, I'm an asshole. But when you meet me on the side, they're like, man, he's a really nice guy. You know, I'm all that, man. Thank you. I'm so grateful for you. And all that changes. Once you sign that contract, okay, you want to work with us? Sign right there. And fuck you. You know? I am not easy. I am not easy to work for at all. I'm just letting people know that, and I just got used to it. I mean, you know, that's a totally different person. But I've come to live with this, so other people can't. So.
I predict, yeah, moments where you're yelling at him about stuff that's not completely his fault and saying things you regret, and then also getting really drunk to where he has to take care of you, and you're drunkenly telling him how he's the greatest thing in your life.
Yeah. Start making out and shit. You know. Yeah.
Thank you,
oh. I'm spooning under his arms.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, he's brushing the vomit off of your chin.
Yeah. Laying under his chest like fucking Han Solo or Luke Skywalker in that fucking that tauntaun.
He's gonna cut
him open.
Cut himself open and put you in
put me in his belly.
Oh, Sammy, I thought you smelled bad on the outside.
And then the morning gives birth to me again. So, and the circle of life continues. So, see? It's already started. See? Ain't even on the plane yet. All right. Somebody in the chat says, ha, ha, ha.
You guys are going to bond. This is the trip you need.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Cement your relationship.
It will. It will. For better or worse. Let's see what we got here. Let's see what we got. I made a – oh, you know what? Last thing I'm going to tell you guys, and we're moving on to the football stuff. Last thing I'm going to tell you guys is that – let me go over here because Broadband TV has asked me to make sure – on our site, fortunately, we have a footer where we have the store so people can find it easy. People don't have to call me anymore and ask me where can I get some DT merch? You know, that's what people are always asking me. But if you go to DTmerch.com, you see that we got our regular shirts up there. You know, the usual stuff, the T-shirts, the tank tops, and the leggings, and the backpacks, and all that good stuff. But Sammy has some new shirts coming up, and they're very nice. I actually like these a lot. They're growing on me more and more. In fact, you're going to be seeing more of these icons everywhere on the site. Sammy, let me see if I can find the shirt that you're working on real quick. Sammy is actually a very good graphic artist for somebody who says he can't draw. But he sure can. He can't draw.
Really?
But somehow he manages to pull like some great graphics out of his ass. I don't know how he does it. Yeah, I don't know. You got a Photoshop or you're conning us or something, man. I don't know what's going on. But there it is. We have limited shirts coming out. We're going to be doing this every now and then, limited shirts. And you know, one of my catchphrases for the Trump era is I wish a motherfucker would. And we're going to be having that in censored and uncensored. You can get it censored with you can get it with just the words, or you can get it with the cute Mr. Toasty on there. You can get him with him being very explicit. I wish a motherfucker would, or you can get him censoring himself.
Don't you need like some kind of DT logo on it just to brand it even more?
It will be, but this is the one where we want people to look at it, and then on the back you're gonna have the DT logo. Yeah, we want it to be more of a shirt where people are interested. You know, sometimes you can brand too hard.
Sure.
And so we want to catch people with the logo right there and the character and the words. And then if they look at the back and people say, hey, where'd you get that? And then somebody just turn around and just say, hey,
that's where, right there.
Like, oh, so, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. No, wait, come back.
The person knocks on the back of your head, takes your shirt.
Right.
All right. Everybody, let's not waste any time here. As I told you, we want to get you guys out in time for the Super Bowl. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump right into it. Now, what we're doing here for the Super Bowl, we're doing a list of all things Super Bowl, ranging from commercials, ranging from halftime shows, right down to some Super Bowl moments themselves. And we're going to do everything that's kind of outside of what you know. I mean, we're going to try to pull up some things that you might have either forgot about or you never heard about. And maybe for one or two things, we'll revisit classic Super Bowl.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I don't know any of this.
Well, Martin, let's start out with this, because a lot of people. Now, here's the thing, y'all are here right now, because you like me, you know, you don't you like football don't pay me, football don't pay me. Well, I give a fuck. You know, I'm
only in it for the chicken wings.
I tell you right, yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's like a wedding or a funeral for me. I just go to eat. You know, I go to somebody's house and they got food ready. I don't know them. I barely knew who was playing, to be honest with you.
At a funeral, you're like, this is good food. Hey, how's your brother doing? It was his funeral.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, well, tell him great party, man. You know. I only keep up with football right down to the Super Bowl. I find the Super Bowl amazing. Like, it's this year is the Atlanta Falcons and the Patriots and New England
go
Patriots.
Falcons.
Yeah, that's what Corey Goodwin's catchphrase. Every time he closes out, go Falcons. I'm like, how much they pay you to say that shit? And shut the fuck up. You ain't paying nobody getting no money.
Hey, man, that's his team. He's from Atlanta.
You the main one. You the main one talking about this we shit. That's my team.
No, no, he's not saying we. Just saying go Falcons isn't saying we. We got to win this. Ray.
You don't do that shit around here. Ain't nobody getting no checks from the NFL around here. But I'm just kidding. I like football, and I keep up with it a little bit. And I think it's amazing. I mean, you know, like Tom Brady, if they win, this will be his, fifth Super Bowl ring that he'll get? Five if he wins this one. I mean, four is crazy enough for an event that 99% of people on this planet will never get to even attend to watch.
Sure.
Much less participate in. So I have crazy respect for people who made it to the Super Bowl. I think it's an amazing thing. And a lot of people here, though, they're kind of like, man, why are you talking about this, Corey? Y'all got a sports show now. Y'all don't need to do this. But that's okay, because as we all know, one of the things that happens with the Super Bowl, Martin, is like, because that's how they got people. You remember the days before the internet, people just used to watch the Super Bowl for commercials and trailers. And now they just started. They put them online now. They stopped fighting. they stopped fighting the internet. They put them online now. But still, people watch for the commercials. And what I have here, I have a bunch of commercials. And we're going to take, while we're on commercials, we're going to talk about two different categories. We're going to talk about commercials that didn't really work because they got too weird. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole thing of, man, commercials, you know, the crazier we get, the more attention that we'll receive. Because of what? The Super Bowl spot is like about $5 million.
Can be.
For what? A minute or something?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. $5 million for 30 seconds, roughly. We might not be exact. But like last year, there was a commercial that it divided people. Weirded people the fuck out, if you will. And I know he already laughing. He's talking about, I love that commercial. And I'm sitting up here like, I hate that commercial. And you probably remember this. You remember that commercial with that crazy-ass animal that kept saying the same thing over and over again?
Man, I might just chill tonight.
Oh, dear.
Puppy monkey baby.
People were like, what the fuck is that? I was watching a commercial with people in a room, and people just stopped. One girl dropped a glass. She's like, what the fuck is it? Burn that motherfucker. And it's the Mountain Dew puppy monkey baby. Their marketing was the heck to combine three things that work in commercials, a puppy, a monkey, and a baby,
right.
Put them in one creature and just have said creature repeat the same thing over and over again. Not even the product, but puppy, monkey, baby. Puppy, monkey, baby. I can't even say it.
Puppy, monkey, baby. Puppy, monkey, baby. Puppy, monkey, baby. Puppy, monkey, baby.
I like my man on there. He's like, oh, that's so adorable.
Yeah.
Believe me. And the thing is that whether you hate it or not, you were going around the house talking about puppy monkey baby. But like there was one dude with a gun in his mouth. Puppy monkey baby. Oh, you know it's. And the thing with this is that it worked. They talked about how these ad marketers came out and these ad sites came out talking about how bad this ad was, talking about how it divided people, how it disgusted people. But by the time that they showed it at the Super Bowl, people were drunk already. You know, people didn't know.
I guess so. I mean, honestly, I look at it and I go like, man, they're just not even trying anymore.
But Martin, here's the deal. That thing generated 2.2 million views online and 300,000 social media interactions after working, which means that they sold a lot of Mountain Dew, and which means that people are high on Mountain Dew and they start seeing that fucking puppy monkey baby.
They put Mountain Dew in front of a lot of eyes.
Yeah, and I think also it did generate sales. Like I said, man, I mean, chances are if you're drinking a whole lot of Mountain Dew, you don't care.
Yeah,
I mean, you are extreme. If you do a whole lot of Mountain Dew, you are extreme hallucinating
It's already made for you.
Yeah, it's already made for you. Hell, you ride a dirt bike with that creature right there.
I mean, most of the time, you're probably seeing that in the corner of your eye anyway.
Yeah. The only difference is that people who drink a lot of Mountain Dew, they see that shit on a skateboard.
Exactly.
You know? Y'all go bungee jumping with that creature. You know, it worked. But there's some things out there that they went a little bit too weird on. And sometimes
weirder than that.
Weirder than that. And sometimes weird worked until you introduced a new element. In 2008, Sobe was selling this thing called Life Water.
Yes.
And people are already talking about, okay, what the hell is Life Water?
It's gross.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, they're trying to sell it like that's a fountain of youth or something.
Uh-huh.
Like you're gonna drink it, all of a sudden you're gonna go back to being 25 years old or something.
Right.
You know,
nah. And they make it sound like, oh, it's full of antioxidants and all the vitamins and minerals you need for life.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you mean sugar?
Yeah.
Is that what I need?
I challenge anybody to tell me what antioxidants or gluten is. Yeah, I don't know. It's some shit on the label. That's all I know. But Sobe had this commercial where not only did they had it good, but introduced a weirder element that threw it off, but they were also riding off of another commercial's back. It's the lizard that's hanging out with Naomi Campbell.
Uh-huh.
Get some of the life water in him, and then all of a sudden starts doing a Thriller dance.
Right.
And a lot of people said, man, y'all ain't trying to be creative. You just bringing in shit
that
people recognize. Like you paid for the rights to the Michael Jackson Thriller song. You got Naomi Campbell in there. And then don't think you're fooling nobody. We know it's that fucking Geico lizard y'all trying to gank on right there. But that's the weirdest thing. People saying, you know, the lizards, they were cool. That people were fine with the lizards. Like, what the fuck is Naomi Campbell doing here? Like, so they said, for some reason, she throws the whole thing off. She just comes in and starts dancing in a way that just seems wild. Okay, so it's pretty much a game by numbers. Like, the lizards are hanging out with, you got a gang of them right there.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, she comes in by herself, and people are like, okay. You just did it for a name. If you're going to use something for a name, it's just a random mashup of pop culture right there. And a lot of people said, come on, man, this is so transparent. Not only, if you're going to be weird, stick with weird. Let the lizards do it themselves. Bringing Naomi Campbell in actually made it very transparent what they were doing.
It didn't seem that way from the minute Thriller started playing.
No, man. They were like, shit, it's a Michael Jackson song.
I mean, at that point, when the lizard starts dancing Thriller, they might as well bring her back in. Because she was the introduction to it in the first place. I mean, she's wearing that super shiny dress. You got the legs, caught my eye. Then we get these lizards. I'm like, okay, you guys get out of here. I want to go back to her.
I'm just telling you what the public said. This is one time.
Sometimes the public's wrong.
See, now you know. How many times do I say that? The public doesn't know what they want until you give it to them. And they don't want Naomi Campbell hanging out with lizards. You know, that was the big thing about it. Nobody says any of this makes sense. It's weird how perception is during the Super Bowl. People are drunk. People are crazy. In fact, the Super Bowl, I heard Ray say this, the Super Bowl is actually kind of depressing when it's done. This is the highest time of the year where people beat their wives or their spouses. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh, geez, that reminds me of something.
Yeah. Girl, you better run.
Girl.
Run!
We're holding.
He's like, oh, man, I'm late. Now, here's the next commercial right here that somebody went way too weird on. It was Miller Lite. Miller Lite was known for in the 90s. This came out in 1998. And you thought that lizard commercial was weird. They were doing things just to be surreal.
Sure.
They thought surreal would sell something. They thought if you looked at something and said, the fuck is that? Then you know what? You might not know, but it might just stick in your mind.
Well, weren't they known for having the best commercials for so long? And I think it comes a point when you can't top yourself. The only way you can go is weird.
Yeah, you pretty much just lost your... It's like, you know, you were doing lines of cocaine before, and then you had cool commercials. Now you're just doing mounds of it. Because shit kind of made sense before, but then they just got to points where they just made up anything. The Evil Beaver commercial. It was based on a history film where... It was done all in silent. These people went out in the woods and cut down all of these trees, and then the beaver saw it, and the beaver lost his mind, except the beaver looks like a crackhead in a fur coat. If you're listening, I forgot to mention he also gets on a dirt bike.
This looks like a Mountain Dew commercial.
Yeah, it does. And maybe they were looking at what Mountain Dew was doing and thought that they would get extreme alcoholism going, but you know, but no, this is just weird. People were terrified.
Why would they give him buck teeth?
I don't. Man, that's why you ask why right there. That's where the why starts.
Yeah. The way to sell a beaver is with the buck teeth.
I think the way to sell a beaver is to have a beaver, not a goddamn drug addict wearing somebody's stolen fur coat. You know. Yeah. It was. This is a lesson, and going a little bit too far.
Sure.
And at the moment,
it's a gamble.
It's a gamble, and at the moment, people are like. You're like, yeah, did I fuck with your head yet?
It's like Eddie Murphy right there.
No, it looks like Charlie Murphy right there. Charlie Murphy! I'm a beaver! But, yeah, there's moments where you can go too far and people responded immediately saying, hey, pull back, man.
I feel like, but you don't know. Like, if that puppy baby monkey thing worked, why not these?
Because I think the puppy monkey baby, and that's a good question. I think the puppy monkey baby worked because of the audience that it was for. Look, man, you know, y'all want to get extreme. All right, there you go. You don't get no extreme of this.
You
fucking
get nuts, Jack.
Yeah.
Let's get nuts.
This goddamn mutant right here. Puppy monkey baby, kill me. Puppy monkey, you know? That thing's in pain.
Right.
That thing is in so much pain right now.
Escape from a lab.
Yeah. Shit, that's a sequel to The Fly.
Right.
Somebody put a monkey, a baby, in a puppy in a transporter or a teleporting pod and got that right there. That thing needs to be burned. You know, the thing is for them, that's a younger demographic than drinking Mountain Dew. I think, I hate to say this, but I think Middle Light drinkers are a little more sophisticated than
I don't. I'm pretty sure there's lots of overlap.
I'm not in advertising. I'll tell you what the people say. I don't know. It didn't work. And maybe it is a gamble. I don't know. But, hey, look. I'm giving you two right there where we don't know. Like, yeah. Okay, I'm lost on this. I have a third one right here that is definitely a no. It's okay. Definitely all like, right. What the fuck were you thinking? And pretty much... I would love to know the history of this. I just looked at it this morning, but I want you to listen to what I'm telling you right here, Martin. $5 million for 30 seconds. $5 million. People are making many movies for these spots right here. Not sales genie pandas. Sales genie panda says, you know what? We're going to save our money a little bit. You know, we don't have to go out there and give you all the special effects and the high-tech CG to sell our product. And that's exactly what they did.
Ching Ching, we have no customers, no sales. We're going out of business.
Oh, what the fuck, man?
I am not going back to the zoo.
People, this is a commercial with pandas in it who are talking like this.
George Lucas directed the commercial?
George Lucas who? George Lucas Jr.?
George Lucas who made the Phantom Menace where all the Jedi try to...
Yeah, you know, it's this is funny, people, because you could tell with this commercial, they all they did was spend the money on the ad space, on the ad time. And when they got it...
as well put the general up there.
Oh, I know. And when they spent the money, they went back to the studio and said, all right, how much we got left for animation? Uh-huh. Nothing. In fact, we got negative. Shit, I wonder what my 13-year-old is doing. We got Flash, right?
Sales miracle.
Panda psychic, help. We need customers.
Tell Ling Ling to get 100 free sales.
Now, this is racist as hell because I want y'all to see they got these pandas. All of them are talking like this, but the one panda that works for the company, the one that has to say the name of their product, has a nice white woman's voice on it. You, man. And $5 million was spent, and the shit backfired on it because immediately people were saying, what the fuck, man? That's racist.
Yeah, why are we still looking at commercials like this?
Yeah.
SalesGenie.com. And stop eating the bamboo furniture.
Wow, look at all these sales leads. Thank you, Sales Genie. Ooh. Hey, kids, you want to go see the grizzly bears at the zoo? For 100 free sales leads, go to Sales Genie.
People don't even know what they were selling. People were so mad.
Oh, that's so painful.
People saw these racist ass. They saw these racist ass penguins. They didn't even. Penguins? I mean, I'm penguins. They saw these pandas right here, and nobody even knew. It's one of the biggest misfires in Super Bowl history, not only production-wise, but also with failing to sell their product. This is amazing right here.
Yeah, what does Sales Genie do?
Do racist pandas? That's what I think that's what they were trying to say. Shit, at the next Super Bowl, they have monkeys eating fried chicken and watermelon. So. It is one of the hugest misfires. It baffles me that they actually spent $5 million to do some $2 flash animation for their commercial. I don't even know how this was made. I don't know how this got in there. I mean, somebody must have had a rich relative or something that funded the spot. I don't even know.
Well, they had something else planned and it fell through and that was all they had left.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She said the director quit on them or something. Fuck.
Your check bounced.
Hey, is your kid still running that panda short that he's doing? Tell him I'll pay him $10 and he'll get a spot at the Super Bowl.
It'd be hilarious if they paid an animation company and the check bounced and they're just like, fine, we'll just give them this.
Yeah.
And we'll wait till the last minute where they have no other options.
Oh, something, anything, any explanation for what's going on here. I don't get it. I would love to, and I didn't have time today, but I'm going to go and research this because this is amazing. People, you look this up. Sales Genie Pandas. I mean, this animation I do for free. I do this shit as a hobby.
Uh-huh.
When we started Spill,
uh-huh.
I whipped something like that out in 5 minutes.
Right.
That's horrible.
Well, 2 days, but still.
I'm a flash genius. At least I didn't do racist animals. Look at that guy with his head up there. Our car sales genie.com. Oh, Saul. Y'all might as well just had a gong at the end of that shit. SalesEngineGenie.com. Y'all be ashamed. $5 million for some racism.
Damn.
To insult Asians.
Doing $5 million to insult Asian people. That'll show them. That's $5 million worth of fuck you, Asians.
Right, yeah. That one counts.
Yeah. Now, let's get into some commercials that people, you know these characters, you know these properties, you know these commercials, but you probably didn't know that they premiered during the Super Bowl. Because a lot of people used to see them after the Super Bowl. They were successful enough. Some of them were weird. And those were the ones that were surreal and weird that actually worked. So much to the point that people forgot that they aired during that time. To this day, and I looked around, to this day, people forget that these characters premiered at the Super Bowl.
Mud.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Mud. Wise Mud. Mud. Wise.
Those are the Budweiser frogs. They were so popular after that they were everywhere. They were on T-shirts. I think they even sold toys or some of them. And
yeah, they kept doing variations on that commercial.
And they kept doing variations on it. If you remember it, people, and maybe you don't. If you don't, it's three frogs hanging out in a swamp somewhere on a log. And one of them says Bud, the other says Wise, and the other says
Bud. Bud. Wise. Bud.
Budweiser, goddammit. Every time you see the commercial, it used to make me mad. Yeah. I used to try to find a control and I couldn't find it. Budweiser!
You sit here. You here. Now, go.
I actually heard bartenders say that they said, man, you know, I used to hate that commercial because people thought it was cute, especially girls. It's like guys thought it was cute for them to come in and they would be three of them. Oh, they'd be standing next to each other. Budweiser. And they're like, yeah, okay. True story. Now, here's one that people do remember. It might be so old that some people might not even remember the commercial itself, but This is 1984. One of the most popular commercials from 1984 is a Macintosh commercial where they were introducing the first like user-friendly Macintosh computer.
We are one people, with one will, one resolve, one cause. Our hands shall talk themselves to death, and we will pray them with their own confusion. We shall prevail.
I say, bitch, you paying for that. She just bought this monitor at Best Buy today. 4K 80-inch screen right there. You know, that is one of the most popular ads ever. To the point that some people do forget that it's at the Super Bowl, but most people do remember. But the one that people forget that came out the same year was this sweet old lady right here who created a catchphrase that lasted for a long time that year. To the point people kind of sick of it, but it sold a whole lot of burgers.
It certainly is a big bun. It's a very big bun. Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
I used to love, man, my mom used to love that commercial. We ate so much Wendy's because of this shit.
Hey, Corey, it's
yeah,
the beef.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, you see? Come on, goddamn hamburger. Get your hands off of that. Mom, we ate this created so many sales for Wendy, that old woman right there. It was a culture.
Clara Peller.
Was that her name? Clara Peller? She was a culture phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Y'all might have seen a Simpsons episode where Homer was wearing a Where's the Beef shirt. People were actually doing that back in the day.
Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
My mother was a kind of woman where when she learned something and, you know, or she got caught on with something popular, my mother was going around talking about where's the beef for 3 years. She would go up to Wendy's doing that shit. Years after that old woman died, where's the beef? Y'all take your fucking hamburger on some. Probably the dude didn't just have his penis out at the window. Here's your beef, ma'am. Tired of you coming here every day doing this. Every day. Where's the beef?
Well, you try to do your homework. Say, Corey. What, mama? Where's the beef?
Yeah. Turn around, my dick is in my hand. Yeah, right here. Where's the beef? I'm masturbating.
Oh, boy, that's just a little smoky.
Yeah. Shit. Look. Talking about look like that thing on that bun right there. I see a lot of bread, but no dick. Fuck you, mom.
Give me a complex.
I'm your son.
Not with that. No.
Now let's go to Wendy's.
Get some real beef, huh?
I'm not hungry. But yeah, that was that. A lot of people forgot that that was a commercial from 1984. I forgot that that was. In fact, I had to tell Sammy, "Are you sure?" I kept calling him today.
Why are you fighting him on it?
Because I was doubting myself. And if I'm doubting myself, that means he's wrong. Okay. So I kept calling up like three times. Like this was something important. Are you sure, Sammy? Are you sure?
We can't get this wrong.
We can't get where's the beef, 1984. Are you positive? People will die.
They'll destroy us in the press if we have this wrong.
I'll turn to facts.
Now here's another one. Now
I'm
this
still gonna go on Snopes though.
What? Yeah, check that for me, man. Now here's another one right here. This is from 2010. Another commercial. This commercial was playing on Adult Swim at night. It was, you know, it's people going around quoting this. It created about 15 minutes of fame as a sex symbol for one particular person. You have any guesses who I might be talking about?
No. 7 years ago? No.
See, that's because you don't remember. And that's because a lot of people don't remember. But at the time in 2010, at the Super Bowl, premiered this commercial right here.
Hello, ladies. Oh, yeah. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me.
But if he stopped using lady-scented body wash and switched to Old Spice, he could smell like he's me.
You know what? So many black dudes were waiting for that one commercial with him where he would be with a white woman. They were like, man, we know he made it. Put a white woman in that Old Spice commercial. He never got it. They gave that brother a horse before they gave him a woman.
Down, back up. Where are you? You're on a boat with the man your man could smell. What's in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It's an oyster with two tickets to that thing you love. Look again. The tickets are now diamond. Anything is possible when your man smells like Old Spice and not a lady. I'm on a horse.
They gave him a white horse.
Baby steps.
They said that's the closest you're going to get right
now.
That's
right. Before you get the white woman, they switched him out with Terry Crews.
Oh, that was the one, because a lot of people, they thought it was the same dude. They're like, because they're looking at him, they're like, damn, he went on steroids and lost his fucking mind.
This new Old Spice shaver is so amazing, it'll shave off every hair on your face. Oh, no. Out of my hair.
They're like, damn, that mother got on crack or something. Yeah, they said, damn, he fell off quick. They thought Tim and Terry Crews were the same person.
Damn, that dude is big.
Yeah, he's huge. Yeah, exactly. I mean, what are you talking about? Yeah, water's wet, Martin. Yeah, that motherfucker's big.
Yeah, but like, you know he's big, but then to see it sometimes, just stop on a freeze frame.
I like, he's yeah. Like, I like. Wow. And the funny thing is, he's a pubic hair right there. You still know he's big. You look down at your penis, you're like, God damn. What happened to you, man? My pubic hair beat my ass.
And it won't stop screaming at me.
It won't stop yelling.
You're about to get shot!
Stop yelling! People are like, is your dick talking right now?
You here too, right?
Yeah. Hey, keep saying, you're about to get saved. Where's the beef?
Well, the thing with that Old Spice commercial, besides, you know, that dude being in it, was how they kept switching the backgrounds and the props. And they said it was no CGI. And they even did like a sort of like a behind the scenes on how they put all that together.
No, that was
amazing.
So that was no CGI, huh? Yeah. All of that is one take.
Yeah.
That's
but
amazing.
It's all like them switching out sets and props and just how you're using camera tricks to do it.
Really? 3 days. Wow. So you had the pearls under the clams and everything?
I guess.
The Old Spice came out the clam like that, Martin. That's
what they say.
Man, that's amazing, man, how they put that shit in his hand. Have it burrow out of it. Nah, you know what? That is a commercial that I remember from, and I saw her during the Super Bowl. Cause I remember I've seen every Super Bowl that comes out, but I forgot that was playing or premiered at the Super Bowl. Now, you cannot talk about Super Bowl commercials and ads without going and talking about the greatest Super Bowl ad of all time. And some people don't remember because now we're finally generations ahead where this one got buried still a little bit. But it was one of the most quoted and parodied commercials at the time. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a hint. 1979.
Got any other hints back there?
No, Mark, because you should know by this. You used to quote this all the time to me. Martin, Mean Joe Green.
Please, get him out.
Remember.
No, you don't.
Mr. Green?
Yeah.
What? You know, the kid's like,
damn.
Kid's like, nothing. I'm just just looking for the bathroom. Sorry.
Look, he's going to eat that kid.
Huh?
You need any help?
Mm-mm.
Fuck you.
I just want you to know, I think you're the best ever.
Yeah, sure.
Want my Coke?
I got
it's okay.
Coke,
right? You can have it.
You look back to you. You got some?
You got oh, kid. Soda. Damn. Get on.
Yeah, kid, come on back with me. Come on. You like cheerleaders? Come on. But yeah, this really got people. This moved people because it was a commercial where it played on people's emotions because they really thought that this guy was like telling this kid to like fuck off.
Sure.
They really thought that this famous player was neglecting this kid and being a bad celebrity to a fan. And this is one of the commercials that at the time, I mean, we're kind of savvy today, but the commercial had a twist to it.
No.
Really, you can have it.
God damn, Kevin.
Okay. Thanks.
Put his backwash in it.
Hey, kid. Thanks, kid. You can sell that on eBay.
What's eBay? It's 1979. He's like, I wanted my Coke, man.
How am I supposed to drink this? Yeah. I'm so thirsty. Damn.
He's like, a t-shirt, Nigga, fuck you.
Tell your mama where you got this.
Yeah.
Hey, kid, where your mama sitting? Tell her come on back. Bring two more Cokes. No, you can't come.
Your Uncle Mean joke. That's what I'm telling your mama.
Oh.
Plus it is kind of like, hey, how did you even get back?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, thanks, kid. I'm going to fire my fucking security.
Oh, let's see here. Now, those are ads right there. Those are all the ads that we have. And that is really one that considered to be the epitome of Super Bowl commercials. That is a classic commercial right there, 1979. A lot of commercials that, you know, today they're weird, or they rely on heavy on star appeal or celebrity appeal. But back then, that commercial right there, it people felt like that was kind of sincere.
But people were less cynical.
And people were less cynical, you know, and that was it was a sweet commercial at a simpler time, Martin.
True.
But fast forward a few years later, anything is but simple. Anything is but pure. And it's but pure, Martin. And we have, I know, it was the same, like, gross. We're done with commercials, but let's talk about halftime shows. And halftime shows, they range from anywhere from mediocre to amazing.
Sure.
You really have to, it's just one of those things where you really have to try hard to be bad.
And yet some people
People do it. And a lot of times it's because of things. It's either because the people who planned it or somebody tries to go too far and they try to be shocking with it. I mean, the most popular halftime show to this date is the Nipple Slip with Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. We're talking about the what was dubbed at the time and still today is called the Wardrobe Malfunction. Damn, he liberated that titty, man. He broke
got a
that
bounce to it.
I know he broke that titty out of prison, man. You know, because I didn't really see it at the time because I usually for the halftime shows I go somewhere, I'm busy.
I remember being at somebody's house and it came on. I was just like,
oh, okay, yeah. And I'm surprised that titty didn't just run free, you know, because the way he like ripped that thing off. And if you notice, there was a big controversy about it because, well, it's a halftime show for a family event, mm-hmm. and then there's a big old nipple exposed out there. No kids were hurt, but for some reason, I think the government got involved or something. It was stupid. And the thing is, it was stupid on everybody's part because FCC was dumb to make this a big deal. There was so much more going on. No kids are going to be hurt because they saw a nipple. Mm-hmm. The other half of it, though, is that they were stupid because they tried to say, we didn't know. But if you
that's what cracked me up, especially Timberlake was like, man, I didn't even know that was going to happen. It's like, look back at that. You clearly weren't shocked.
You weren't shocked.
You went straight for that, pulled it away, and stood there proud.
I'm surprised he didn't yank her titty off with it, right. The way he jerked that thing off so hard. And if you listen to the part of it, I mean, it's choreographed. If you listen, it's choreographed right there with the words of the song. Yank, you know, I'm gonna have you naked by the end of this. Come on, man. Yeah, let's all stop playing dumb.
Right.
It was supposed to just rip the leather part.
Oh, it's supposed to rip the leather part.
It was supposed to be
there. Oh, okay. I don't.
Oh, whatever.
I don't buy that shit. Not one minute.
Yeah,
I don't
not
buy.
At all.
I don't buy 1 minute. Tittygate. This is what he had going on with this. And the deal with that is, look, it could have been solved. FCC find these rich people. They give them some money that they can afford. Everybody moves on. It was a big, stupid debate back
in
the day.
Yeah, they started doing a crackdown on a lot of people over that.
Yeah, it was dumb. It was really dumb. But that didn't stop people from, all right, we understand. But people just started doing bizarre things. You know, if anybody remembers Katy Perry's time at the Super Bowl during our halftime show, everybody was talking about those sharks and the dancing sharks, and it was pretty much one big LSD trip for people.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
like, there was somebody who just got sober and they looking at the halftime show like, oh shit, I'm clean. You know, they got a little bit more bizarre. But I'll tell you something, for the complaints that people had today about the Super Bowls and the recent Super Bowls past, y'all gonna be wishing for those sharks. You'll be wishing for that titty right there, because the Super Bowls in the past, they were weird, but in the worst way possible. And they were weird because of people who tried to plan them, who tried to make them too family friendly, too pure. And that was back in the day when they considered, like, well, we can't have all this urban bullshit in here.
Sure.
You know, this has to be lily white and nice.
Now, are you talking about the days when Elvis shaking his hips was too much?
No. I'm talking about the 80s and the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
During
those Reagan years, we got to be completely sanitized.
Oh, man. It's sanitized to the point where the shit just got weird.
We have to protect the children.
And that was the weirdest thing about it, because to protect the children, I have three halftime shows right here where things got a little crazy. And the first one is from 1982. Anybody familiar with Up With People?
Oh, they came to my school.
Up With People, back when I was coming up and you were coming up. Uh-huh. Up With People, they were a cult. They were these weird dudes who come in, they play all these folk songs, and they were trying to, like, unite cultures.
Yeah, well, it was all about having young people, like teenagers and early 20-somethings, singing all this super sanitized music that was almost from the 50s.
Yeah, and the thing about it was put together. This is a lesson on how crazy things will get when it's put together by old white people. Mm-hmm. Because what they did was they tried to put this together where corporations, even the president at the time, I think, met with Up With People because, well, you know what? You guys to get the youth in order. You know, you have youth appeal, but you're so clean. And they got them for the Super Bowl. And it was
really,
you got them for the Super Bowl in 1982. Man, it was one of the most cringeworthy, horrible things I've ever seen. I don't even look at this and laugh. I just look at this and shake my head. Like, this is a Super Bowl. What the fuck surfing got to do with this? You know, Beach Boys.
Like, y'all couldn't get the actual Beach Boys for this?
Yeah, well, man, think how bad the Beach Boys felt when you were upstaged by Up With People. It looked like they captured Earth, Wind, and Fire, reprogrammed them.
Man, you gotta work hard to take the soul out of the Beach Boys.
Yeah, when you take the Beach Boys and make them cornier.
This is Up With White People. No offense, man.
I mean, no, it's none, but this was at a time. I mean, no offense to white people, but this is when you had
You guys have made some great contributions.
Yeah. No, this is when you had 75-year-old white people on a committee put this shit together. And
my son is in this group, and I think they'd be perfect for this.
And it turns into a fucking hard show.
It's like a Christian group where they don't sing about Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. I would watch torture porn more than I watch this shit. Fuck you. No. 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 Hey, you probably, man, this is number three? There's a two and there's a one. Man, you just don't know. That's what happens when you let 75-year-old white people on your committee plan this event. Now, number two is when you let a corporation come in and plan the event and also let them pitch their latest theme park ride. Disney had I think this is when it was on ABC. This is 1995, I believe. And this is Disney. They had a new Indiana Jones ride or attraction. And they and they decided to come in and have a whole Indiana Jones themed halftime show where Indiana Jones, he's going for the Vince Lombardi trophy. He's looking, and I want you to look at the faces on these people that are working for here. They are miserable.
Hold on. I got a bad feeling about this. Bring to me the trophy.
They got a dude Look at his face. They got, for those who are listening, they got the Kaliman dude from Temple of Doom, and they got some kid who's playing this for $25, and he's just like, my life. He's like, man, I'm desperate. Don't judge me. He's like, man, I'm a struggling college student. I need to eat. In fact, I'm in the art department at college, so y'all know I'm a theater major. Y'all know I'm hungry. This dude is defeated. Look at this shit again. He could have waited for the camera to leave, but
he just couldn't wait.
Right after he said that line, he just deflated. But that's the beginning. It gets worse.
Oh, good.
Patti LaBelle.
The goddess of rock and soul, Miss Patti LaBelle.
Who should know goddamn better? Patti LaBelle and Indiana Jones combined in one. This shit looks like, what's up?
I mean, with the way this started, why not?
Yeah, why not? Again, this is so random right here. This is like if Indiana Jones was looking for something at Mardi Gras. You know? It was so again, this is bad because they were so hard pressed to just promote that ride that the whole thing didn't make sense. They just combined a lot of things, you know. They were like, man, it's almost like Disney came in and said, all right, you know what, we on ABC, we're gonna promote this ride. And I'm like, man, we already promised Patti LaBelle that she was gonna perform. Like, you better put her in that shit, because that's what's gonna happen,
right?
Because we are doing this.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Everything you just said sounds correct. They already had her booked, and then somebody else decided we got to do Indiana Jones, and somebody said, well, then put them together.
Yeah. We don't care how to do it.
Make it work.
Yeah. Shit. She can play a trophy, and Indiana Jones can snatch her ass. Let her be the boulder. I don't give a fuck. She can roll out for all we care, but she's going to be there. And Indiana Jones will, too. And they had the production, man. That was the thing about it. They threw lots of money at it.
Well,
but
they did, but this all, even with the last production and this, it looks like stuff that when you go to a theme park like Astroworld when it was Six Flags, like they have those little musicals that you can go see, you know, a show once every 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of level. And this is one of those Indiana Jones stunt shows.
Exactly.
Except with singing.
Exactly. That's what it is. Sort of like those kind of like those tertiary things that things that go on the side. You know?
There'll be some giant, you know, it's a small auditorium, but it's more of a kiosk.
Yeah,
you sit around and watch them come on. These high school kids, they pay to do this every summer, the drama kids.
Yeah, yeah, and they got a sign up there, 2 o'clock, the Raggedy Ass Indiana Jones show. You know, come see it after getting your hot dog. And now, this is the one, man. This is the one that's gonna blow people's minds right here. This is a halftime show that nobody remembers because it's almost like people tried to bury this. It was so bad.
Oh.
Yeah, this is 1989, I believe. And everything I've showed you does not prepare you for how weird and just horribly bizarre this halftime show was. It featured, they didn't even have a real celebrity. They have a real property. That was the crazy thing about it. They got a guy named Elvis Presto to come out. They brought a dude. Elvis Presto is exactly what it sounds like. It's a hybrid of Elvis Presley impersonator and a magician. And they brought this dude out to do magic, you know, magic tricks, especially card tricks. They're bad enough when they're just regular size.
Sure.
They brought this dude out to do card tricks the size of the whole football field.
You're gonna find this card trick's gonna blow your mind. But first you have to pick a card. Come on and concentrate real hard.
You gotta concentrate real hard.
You look in pain, Mark. No one remembers this. I asked around online. I said, does anybody remember this Elvis Presley shit? Like, never heard of that. No. Well, like, it's almost like if YouTube wasn't around, this would be buried.
You pick your card by clapping hands, so everybody in the stand, let's hear it for your card, because your choice depends on your applause.
You gotta pick a card with applause. You gotta pick a card.
What? Was this live?
This was live.
It doesn't look live.
And, well, what they did was, it was also a big gimmick. This was one of those things where people wore those really bad 3D glasses, yeah, the blue and the red or whatever, and the whole thing was in 3D. So you would get glasses and you'd watch this, and meanwhile, while that was happening, this right here, that was pre-produced. On the field is where they had people out there doing the big card tricks.
Which card is gonna be depends on just how loud you clap, my friend. Card 1, 2, 3, 4. Now clap for the card that you adore.
See, they took up a whole field for this bullshit.
Oh, wow.
For a bad card trick. And the thing that was so bad about this, people were confused. I mean, you know, people were drunk at the Super Bowl. They were like, Elvis, presto.
He lives.
But that was what was driving people kind of crazy. They're like, so you got an Elvis impersonator who doesn't even do Elvis songs? He does card tricks? You know, it was weird, man. And a lot of people, and to this day, it's something that people not only look at it like it's bad. They say, I still just don't get it.
Sure. And you think about this. When he got this gig, his agent told him, like, man, it's going to put you on the map. You're going to be a household name. Elvis Presto, I can see it. Carnegie Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Madison Square Garden. This is it.
Yeah.
You hit the big time, kid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to put you on the map, which leads to Nowhereville. But, you know, good for you. Hey, man, at least you got the Super Bowl. You can say that.
If you want to. And what happened after that? No, don't worry.
Not a goddamn thing. What do you think?
Just move your feet because I need to sweep that area.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think happened? I was Elvis Presto. What do you think happened? I disappeared. There you go. Yeah. Presto changing. Get the fuck away from me. By the way, whose curly fries are these? Elvis Presto. That has got to be. I challenge you to find anything that will top that.
What year was that?
That was 1989.
Oh, wow.
Okay. 1989. So you thinking like this is from the 50s or something? Nah.
Not the
50s, but you thinking like probably the 70s, yeah, or something like that. Nah. This is 1989. Right on the cusp of the 90s, man.
Yeah, I feel like that. Like it was right around this time after this when they start stepping up their game with the halftime acts.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't know if at the time. I mean, maybe at the time, you tell me, because I don't know halftime history that well. Were they doing this because halftime was considered not as big?
Yeah, it was. For the longest time, it wasn't considered that big. That was a time when people checked out.
That's what I was wondering. I said,
It wasn't until they started bringing in big-name rock and roll acts.
Okay.
That things changed.
Because I look at that and I'm thinking, well, they did that because people would step out to get something to eat or go to the bathroom.
No, it wasn't considered a big deal.
Okay. Do you know, Martin, what the – I'm asking. I don't know. Do you know what the first big rock and roll act was that probably brought all this new era in of quality? That'll be a good thing for people to actually let us know. So y'all do some of the work today. Michael Jackson was 94, 95. Yeah.
Maybe. I could see that.
I could see that, too.
And then Pepsi took over Britney Spears.
And Sammy's saying Pepsi took it over and then – you know, they got money. They start bringing in Britney Spears and other acts. So I guess that's
And now people complain when it's not somebody big. You know, you get – who is it? But it was like when that year they got some country artists.
You can't –
Not Bruce Springsteen. No, it was somebody who was just all country. Everybody was like, are you kidding me? I ain't watching that shit. And it's like, hey, you could go back to Elvis Presto.
Yeah, you take that. We can even get this shit right here. Hey, everybody, got a trick for you. Yeah, I got a trick for you, too.
Look there. Bam. Coming up next, Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, you ever heard the kicking the ass trick right there? But Presto, now you at this goddamn room. You know, it's no turning back now. Mm-hmm. They can't turn back at this point. And they do and that's opened up a whole new Pandora's box right there, where you can't go back on two things. You can't go back on the halftime show,
right?
And you can't go back on the national anthem. And I don't have, well, I'm not going to front anybody out too hard here, because really, if you mess up the national anthem, let me tell you something about the Super Bowl. If you mess up the national anthem, but you can just do vocal acrobatics and keep going, people are way too drunk and hyped up about the Super Bowl to care. Christina Aguilera, man, she caught so much flack for messing up the national anthem.
Did she?
And everybody that gave her shit for the national anthem are the people who weren't at the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Hating, you know, the people who, because the people at the Super Bowl, they don't care. They just, yeah, get this shit over and let's play.
Right.
You know, but she, what happened was she messed up, I think, like, she messed up the words. And she messed up, I think, the fourth verse that came up.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
All right.
What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming.
Okay, this is where she's making up shit now. I was like, yeah, you kind of fucked that up. And I don't know the words to the national anthem. It's funny because I know the rhythm of the national anthem. So when you mess up a word, I'm like, yeah, that ain't right. I don't know what it is.
Well, she's right so far.
No, I think this is where she starts to combine it. Is it? Let me see.
And bright stars through the pain.
So that ain't even a word. That's like she forgot the shit. She said, I'm just going to like just sing my way through.
Stretching out and doing all that. You're like, just sing the goddamn song.
Yeah, just sing the song.
We're trying to get past this part.
And the thing is, nobody even knows the words in the national anthem. Once you get past like by the dons, like everybody like, okay, I don't know shit. You know, just sing it. And just go on, get on with the game.
What's so proud? We watched at the twilight last evening, and the rockets red glare.
See, that's all people want. Mm-hmm. They just want that one note. That is it. As if you can, like, if you can sing like that, you gotta cheat. You know, just hit that one note, hit it high, and stretch it out, and people just be like, people don't care.
But it's always leading up to that where you see a lot of people, that's where they screw it up, where they're just kind of singing and then they realize, like, I'm not paying attention to what I'm saying.
Even they get lost in it. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people give it a hard time, but really?
Jesse McCartney did that.
Oh, really?
And they blasted him on YouTube.
People at the Super Bowl, the thing with the national anthem, people at the Super Bowl don't care. They, you know, just, she came on, apologized and shit. It's all these armchair patriots that are mad about it. How dare you do that? That sacred song. It's like, yeah, if you went to Super Bowl, you'd be drunk and wouldn't give a shit. You know, come on. Let's call it for what it is.
Somebody get up there and just do a parody version.
Well, didn't Roseanne Barr did that one year?
And, yeah, well,
yeah,
her.
But they hate her anyway. Yeah. It was just because it's her.
Whitney Houston had the best.
Yeah, Whitney Houston did have the best of all time. Now let's get into some actual football. You know, we talked about the commercials, we talked about the halftime shows, we talked about Janet Jackson's titty and all that. You know, let's talk about
all the good stuff.
Let's talk about the good stuff. But you know, anybody can look up NFL history, Super Bowl history. I wanted to know something about the Super Bowl because I said, all right, Super Bowl, for many, a once in a lifetime opportunity. Unless you're lucky like Tom Brady, you know, you're going to your fifth Super Bowl. But for a lot of people, I was like, you know what? I think that if you go to the Super Bowl, that night you would eat a good meal, go to bed early, get some good rest, be all bushy-tailed and bright-eyed for the next day. I want to look up some people who fucked up the night before the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Like the people who didn't even make it to the Super Bowl because they got so messed up.
Players?
Players.
Okay.
Players. Players who had some problems and couldn't make it to the Super Bowl. We're going to go through this real quick because this is crazy, man. Who would miss the Super Bowl? Stanley Wilson did. Stanley Wilson was, he's a running back for the Cincinnati Bengals. This was Super Bowl 23. He actually did get to the Super Bowl the next day, but he was in the bathroom and the coach saw him and the coach was like, you fucked up right now, ain't you? He was on coke. He went on a coke bender the night before.
I'm drunk right now.
Yeah. he went on a coke bender. He was in the bathroom tweaking, man, and the coach said, nah, you would not get on that field. Which was too bad because
he would have ran his ass off.
He would have ran his ass off, man. He would have. He probably would have ran home.
He would have kept the ball and just kept running.
Yeah, yeah. He would have put a Forrest Gump.
I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, shit. He would have been running in traffic.
And that was the last ball.
Yeah, would have found his ass in Mexico the next day. Just that was the last ball. Be playing with a beach ball next. You know, all of a sudden they playing basketball. But you know, it's it was crazy because they lost the game. They lost to the 49ers.
Oh.
Yeah, and they even said, the coach said, yeah, if his black ass had been there, because the conditions on the field that day, they were, I believe it was raining, I was wet or muddy. And they said, yeah, he plays well in that. He actually would have been a big benefit.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. And they said, yeah, that's all right, man. No, go home, have some more Coke, because you ain't coming back.
Uh-huh.
He got banned for life after that.
Banned for life?
Banned for life. He got banned from the league for life.
Okay.
Hell, cocaine's a hell of a drug. Take your career from you. And I think in 1999, he actually got sentenced 22 years because for property theft. Like, he stole something from Beverly Hills home. He stole a lot of things, a lot of valuables worth like $100 million in property. And the judge, I don't know if he served the whole 22 years, but he, at the time, his sentence was 22 years. You can judge by those tears right there.
Man, it's always weird when you see somebody who's a heroin or coke addict and they're fat. Because usually they get emaciated. So it's like, damn, man, how are you mixing, cutting it with sugar? What's going on?
Well, I think that's after coke.
Oh.
And he's like, I sure could use some right now.
I love his lawyers listening like, man, I told you.
Yeah. Yeah. I found you in the bathroom, tweaked out, man. What's wrong? You know, it's one of those things where we get into – I think it was we're beginning to see how the movie Concussion, mm-hmm. while it wasn't a great movie, we're beginning to see how some of these things with these guys probably was true. Like they got hit in the head a whole lot and whatnot and kind of had an effect on how they lived. And here's another one right here. This one's funny, man. I mean, it's tragic, but it's funny because it's some place that you've been before. So you could probably understand how this happened. Martin, you remember that time that you and Tijuana and you passed out on a bus bench?
I didn't pass out.
Okay.
I can't sleep now.
Okay. That's passing out, man. You had your eyes closed in Tijuana, of all places. Well, my man here, Barrett Robbins.
God damn it.
Barrett Robbins.
You know him, Sammy?
Yeah, Oakland Raiders, man. Yeah. Yeah, he plays for the Oakland Raiders. Super Bowl, I think it was Super Bowl 37. The night before, he went over to Tijuana, went to a bar, partied so hard that he said, yeah, I can't make it to the Super Bowl today. Why? Because I'm checking myself into a psychiatric hospital.
Oh,
he's
damn.
Like, yeah, I just Tijuana taught me about myself. He's like, he suffers from depression, stupidity. well, he also has
manic depression.
He has depression and
bipolar.
Bipolar. He's bipolar too, and that's we're laughing, but like that concussion story that we're talking about, where these players went off. Kind of sounded like he was fitting the profile himself. He, he was released from the NFL, or at least from the team, in 2004 for steroid use. And later on, his life just went to shit, man. He was arrested several times for just starting fights with people. On Christmas Eve one day, he punched a security guard who was trying to keep him from going into the bar at the Sir Francis Drake Hotel in San Francisco. In January of 2015, January 15th, he was shot three times during a brawl at a Miami Beach party. And what's up? And he was, I think he was tried for attempted murder. So, yeah, man, these guys, when they fall hard. And you look at these stories and you think, all right, these are tragic stories here. Only these guys have made it to the Super Bowl. If only they had just played that, if they had just gone home, went to bed, got some rest and did their job.
Yeah, well, it sounds like with these stories, these guys would have ended up where they are anyway after the fact.
Yeah.
They'd have a Super Bowl ring, but still.
Yeah, and you don't always have to be a drug addict or party animal or alcoholic for these things to happen. All kind of people were messing up. I think this guy actually made it to the game, but barely. This is Eugene Robinson here. He plays for the Atlanta Falcons. And he was arrested because the night before the game, he tried to solicit for oral sex to an undercover officer.
Damn.
looks like he's getting some oral sex right now. So help me play better. You know, it's funny because the day before, he had just received an award.
Anal sex.
Again, looks like he's getting that right now. It's a 2-for-1 special. He was given the Brett Star Award for high moral character.
Oh.
And yeah. So he got the award and said, well, shit, I'll celebrate with a blowjob, you know.
Well, he was willing to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, how much more moral can you be than that?
Exactly, man. People pay for sex all the time. Yeah. I don't think it's bad.
Trying to help a young lady who was down on her luck.
It was going
to
help him with the game, too. You know, he would have played better, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think that he had to sit that out. And the Falcons lost to the Broncos, man, 34-19. So these are dudes who actually would have made a difference had they been there.
Maybe.
But they're thinking like, hey, you know, especially with the guy that we were talking about earlier, who was Stanley Wilson. They said, yeah, man, he definitely would have made a difference.
Sure. I mean, but, you know, you can't say like, man, you would have gave us those 2 touchdowns and a safety we needed to win the game.
I don't know. I don't know football, Mark. Drinking and blowjobs, I do know. Which again, cocaine too, which is why I don't play football, so I can enjoy the finer things in life, Martin. Now, we're telling you about people who were messing up because they were high, they were drunk, they were looking for sex. The first touchdown at the Super Bowl was actually made by a guy who was hungover. He wasn't high, you know. He wasn't drinking too hard. He drank enough to make it to the game. And apparently that was the key for him. This guy, I'm talking about Max McGee. This guy was actually not even supposed to play that day.
It sounds like a made-up name.
I know.
Max McGee.
I know. It sounded like that's how they called him. When, yeah. Because one player was out that day. And Max McGee, this guy, he scored the – he played for the Packers. And there was a player who was missing that day. And he was a standby. And so you know that when the other guy was in there, you know, like, all right, McGee,
you're
come
up.
On in. You're up, McGee. And this guy.
Oh, what?
you got a bucket underneath. Really? Fuck, today? You know he was drinking because he thought he wasn't going to call.
I'm getting a ring and I ain't got to do nothing.
Ain't got to do shit. Hey, ladies at the strip club. I'm being at the Super Bowl tomorrow. You better go home then. No, I ain't going to play. Shit, fuck it. I get paid, though. And so will you if you shut the fuck up and give me this lap dance. But, yeah. we gonna do business or what? But yeah, he showed up the next day, hungover as hell, and they called him up. But he said, "All right, you know what? If I gotta play, I gotta play. I better muster every bit of strength that I can." And he scored a one-hand touchdown that's considered not only like the, you know, it is the first touchdown of the Super Bowl ever, but it's also, at least I believe that's what I read. If I'm wrong, let me know because I don't know football. But it was an amazing touchdown too because, like I said, it was a one-hand catch.
Dale to the right, McGee to the left, Star dropping straight back, hit as he throws, has the ball.
Oh.
Nice, right?
And the old veteran scores the first touchdown of the Super Bowl game.
First touchdown of the Super Bowl ever was done by a drunk dude.
So let that be a lesson to you, kids.
So all these other guys, they were just living the tradition, man. Keeping it up. That's all.
Well, not quite.
Except Max made the game. Mm-hmm. You know, getting there. That's the other part. So that is our Super Bowl talk right there, Martin. A few things Super Bowl, just covering some.
I learned some things.
Learned some things right there. And you're a fan, see? Everybody, if you dig deep enough, you will find something that you don't know. Ask Elvis Presto.
What's he up to now?
What the fuck? I don't know. Shit, working kids' parties? I don't know.
Hey, kids want to see
him.
No.
He might live in Austin, for, you know. We can have him on the show.
Man, if he did, I would bring his ass up here so quick. This whole studio would just be one big card trick.
Still have an old Elvis wig, black and shiny.
Yeah, he'd be like, what, about 70 now?
Uh-huh. Hey, want to see a trick? Yeah.
Oh, Martin, before we go on, Sammy turned me on to something. Yeah, if you ever want to know anything about dick, ask Sammy, man. Sammy came in.
I've heard that.
Yeah, Sammy came in the room today, man. He said, you got to see this dick right here. He said, it's amazing. And I was first, I was like, man, you get the fuck out of here with that. Because I thought he was going to come in and zip his pants. But then he showed me the site, and I was like, he said, man, this site got dick all over. And I was like, man, I ain't looking at this. And he sent me the link anyway, and we left the room. I was like, oh, okay. What is going on with this penis? I'm curious now. Sam, you got my attention. Damn, you had my curiosity. Now you got my dick attention. But with this right here, it is funny, man. We're going to talk about this just real quick. I have to because Goodwin didn't. And it's something that should be discussed. Because here's the thing. I believe in equal opportunity, everything, in all media, including video games. And there's always these women and video games, the huge cleavage, the big asses. Hey, I'm not arguing with anybody on that. I'm not fighting it. I like it, too. But, you know, you don't see a lot of dudes doing that. But Conan said, you know what? I'm changing everything. I'm going to pave the way with my penis right now.
Okay. Wait, Conan, the talk show host or Conan
O'Brien? Conan O'Brien. it's the Conan O'Brien dick game.
Check out these little ginger pubic hairs. Yeah.
I want this now, but that's not it. No, we're talking about Conan the Barbarian.
Okay.
And apparently in the game, you start out the game, this is kind of in barbarian times where, sure. You know, when you start out, you don't...
Hyboria.
This is before you find your loincloth to cover up your business. And, if you're going to do that, you start out the game naked and you have to kind of... You're going to have to see your junk down there. So the game... Now, I don't know if you ever played anything like Skyrim or Dark Souls or anything, but in these games, what they do is... I like them because they let you come in and you can make your character, customize your character.
Okay.
You can make them a certain race, gender, hairstyle. Oh, but Conan got you one different right there. Conan says, hey, we're the first game to ever give you the choice of dick size in it. And then I like Danielle. I mean, Denise on it. She's like, hey. She's ordering the game right now. Look at Conan O'Brien dick game. But with this, Martin, I'm on this site, PCGamer.com, and they put it up. So for those of you out there, listen, nudity, I don't care. I think we're a little high strung about that. But if it does offend you, you may not want to watch this. But you need to. I can't censor this. You have to see the dick in all its glory, Martin. So, Martin, if you – oh, you'll be back. I was. I did the same thing. No. No, I don't want that penis. No.
Push it in your face.
Like, oh, no.
Look at it.
Taste the flavor. No, with this right here. So what you do, you start out with a dick meter, where you can you can measure.
A dickometer?
Yeah, look at this right here. Let me see. It's a slider, if you will. This is what I was afraid of, Sammy, if it wouldn't play or not. That's why I wanted you to get this for me today.
You should have just bought the game.
I know. Let me see. Here it is. All right, there you go. Nah. So you can slide. And if you notice, the dude is actually trying to go off the chart.
Yeah, exactly.
He's trying to go off the slider. He said he wants his penis to be down to his feet.
Now, whoever picks the small one?
That's what I'm saying.
Nobody.
Despite the fact that it would be a better tactical move.
And that's what we were saying yesterday. We were saying, you know what? It looks like, this is the one you got to see right here. Because it looks like it would just get in the way.
Yeah.
Because if you look right here, when he bends down... It almost looks like he's shitting his penis. like he's giving birth right now.
Oh, it'd be hilarious if there's things in there, a penalization, if you will.
I'll give you that one. There you go.
A schlong is too long where other characters can just come and yank on it or chop it off.
Well, that's what we were saying. We were talking about how, like, man, that thing, like, it could take hit damage.
Uh-huh.
That's almost like that dick is almost like a damage meter, almost, right. You know? And we were talking about last night, like, well, shit, if I die, I'm going to die with a big dick. You know, okay. I'll take it. I'll suffer it. But it looks like that would just get in the way.
Yeah.
Like the villains would just come up with a club and just hit that shit right there. Shit. Yeah. Your character just start playing like, fuck, game over. Shit.
Oh. I quit. Don't play too much.
Yeah, man. They got this fool out there with his junk just flapping around. Everywhere, look. I mean, you can get it like he's on a trampoline with taint vision going on. Yeah,
that's
Denise,
like the two girls, one cup.
I know. close your mouth, Denise. And like she's actually trying to receive it like a baby bird. Like, ah. I want that
it's
worm.
Like he's gonna shit on you coming down.
I know. It, like he's just gonna lose it at one bounce. Yeah.
Like, oops, sorry. I sharted. Don't tell nobody, all right?
It's like it's just leaving grease all over the screen right there. Yeah, man. I'm down with the game, though. Shit. And they have one right here where...
Is the game out?
I think so. It's in beta. Okay.
Okay.
And they have one vision right here where, like if you're so proud, if you were so proud of your endowment... Like, you can get an outfit that's like a mini blouse or a mini skirt. You can so you're wearing something, but your dick is hanging all out right there. Damn, that kind of looks like Ruby Rose walking through.
You're right.
Yeah, man. And here's the thing with the game. There's no pictures of it, but Sammy told me this. I'm going to take his word for it. They say it's kind of racist, but it's racist in a good way. They say that...
That's not a thing.
Oh, but well, hear me out. Hold on. Because they say that if you actually choose for your character to be black, your dick is already big. Like, you know, you have to actually take the... You have to reverse the meter back. Come on, Martin. You know, that's...
You know, I know we enjoy that stereotype or whatever, but that's just one other thing that's likening us to beasts.
Well, it served me well back in the day. Shit, call me the beast then. Yeah, that's a stereotype that has served me well. I'm sorry. That's this shit. It's a lot of stereotypes out there. I might as well take one and make good use of it. By the Conan Dick game. Coming soon. It's in beta. Coming soon. For all of you out there who have a small dick in real life, well, Conan got you. He can help you out in virtual reality at least.
You can tell who has a small dick by how big they make their dick in this game.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if you're real confident, you'll go in with a little dick.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't need that shit. I can't wait to see how many people with their Tinder profiles are going to be this shit right here.
Right?
No, that's me.
Oh, that's you taking a shit?
Oh, all right, people. We almost done. Look at that, Martin. We got through it. Got through it. Look at that, sir. What? Oh, no, we did not, Martin.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
No, we did not. But we will. We will. Oh, let's see here. Let's see what we got. Again, people, I want everybody to join
get
us.
Get on up.
Get on up. Get on up. Why you leave me hanging, man? You are singing all these old songs. You just look at me like you know that one. Just sit up there looking at me, huh?
You sung it wrong.
Well, of course I did.
So I didn't know. I was like, wait, that's two different songs.
Which one is it?
I move on up.
Oh, because that is it. You fucking hipster, you. You knew what I was talking about.
No. Because when you sang the wrong lyric, I was like, where is he going to go
next?
Oh,
Mark. Here's Martin. Welcome, people, to the top five weekend box office. You see it right there. Where we talk about the top five movies in this weekend's box office. And just because you're in the top five doesn't mean what, Martin?
That you're on top.
You're always on top. All right. Let's go ahead and see what we have here this week. Sammy was gracious enough to put all the notes together for the top five this week. What do we got here? What do we got? Come on now. Give it to me. Give it to me. There we go. Ah, there we go right here. Sammy, thank you, sir. And as always, people, we start with number five. And sometimes when we do these lists, there might be an extra surprise. Like, we try to keep it down to five, but the box office sometimes says otherwise, Martin. Mm-hmm. Which might be today.
There'll be some movies of note that just couldn't quite make it.
No, could not. Just couldn't hang. But let's see the ones that have been able to hang in there. Sorry, people. I got a little cold. Man, allergies are killing me, man.
They're getting everybody. It's been the longest allergy season I can remember.
Y'all don't understand how polite I'm trying to be. Like, I do little dainty sniffs, and I got this snot just hanging on right at the end of my nostril right here. You know, just hanging.
Just turn your head and do one big...
Damn, Martin, shit. God damn. I sound like a goddamn like boulders crashing in your nose. That is nasty, man.
Feels good, though.
Yeah, damn. I'm expecting a bear from the Revenant to come out your nostrils, man.
God, help me.
But it is a good idea. Yeah! Oh, yeah, shit.
It's
funny how that sugar can clear your sinuses, man. You have to play with you. Let's play the Super Bowl.
It was yesterday.
Be funny. Be funny, those guys that were high shoulder, like, let's play some basketball.
Yeah, go home, man.
You're not going out there.
All right, people. It is time that we get into it. Let me go ahead and bring up a little something right here before we start. And let's see what we got for the top five this week. Martin, what is the number five? Excuse you, sir. What is the number five movie?
Number five, I know to be La La Land.
Martin, you are correct. It is La La Land. And La La Land, after a very successful run, is at number five after 9 weeks. Brought in $7.4 million this weekend, but has an ultimate gross of $118 million, and that is on a $30 million budget. It's got enough money now where people can afford haters.
You know, that's true.
Yeah, it's made enough money where people can finally come out and say, you know what, since you won, you suck.
Oh, you think you're all that, huh?
Yeah, you ain't.
I thought I was all that. Yeah, I thought so, but you ain't.
Yeah, you ain't shit, La La Land. Coming in with your little music and dancing and tippity-tappity. Look, I'm going to stick to my whole thing of, yeah, I think that this movie is great. I think it deserves to be Best Picture of the Year. I don't know if it'll win, but I do, because I saw it before I thought it would ever get this big. It seems like with this movie right here, it was number five last week and it's holding strong right there, which is good, because being at this movie at any other time, if you listen to what Sammy says, when people didn't, you know, people need this kind of feel-good movie right here. Even though it's a little bittersweet, it puts people in a good mood. People are happy to go out and see all the colors, the dancing, the light spirit of this. And it just goes to also show that sometimes a throwback to old Hollywood, when timed right, and especially when done right, can lead to big things. You know, audiences are loving this. And Sammy wrote in the notes here, they're saying that they're comparing it to another musical hit. And Chicago. Mm-hmm. They're comparing this to Chicago, which this movie has already beat the $94 million performance of their film. And that's after 6 weeks?
60 days.
60 days. And it also helps that this movie is a big hit, not only with the critics out there, but as you can see by the money, also with the audiences. Let's go ahead and move on to our next movie, Martin.
Kind of murky. I think it's Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, Martin. You are right, sir. You are right. The movie that you did not like this year. Yeah. Martin, you know, Martin said, fuck them women. I don't care about their rights.
Don't care about
their
rights.
Not exactly what I said.
Yeah, think they smart and everything. Hidden Figures brought in $10.1 million this weekend. Another film that, again, it seems like it would have been a smaller, just a very well-done studio film, strictly to go out there and entertain people. But due to the timing, we have all the women marches going on, all of the women's rights issues that are happening right now. I think a lot of people felt like they needed to support this film, and they happened to make this cross over the $100 million mark, $119 million mark. But it's not only political, it's also that this film got some nominations from the Oscars and from the Golden Globes.
It doesn't hurt.
Viola Davis and what's her name?
Viola Davis is not in this movie.
Is she not? I'm racist as fuck. Well, they all look alike to me.
Octavia Spencer.
And Janet Jackson is in this too. Denzel Washington. Hidden Fences, y'all. No, Octavia Spencer was the one that got a big nomination. Viola Davis got it for Fences. And I started to say Hidden Fences again. And this only dropped 25% from last week. And what was it, number three last week?
Yep.
And they're saying that this is probably going to, they want to see how this is going to stand up to some new movies that are coming out. It might start to get pushed a little lower because you're going to have a lot of things taken off the top five. You got 50 Shades Darker. You got the Lego movie. You got John Wick 2, the Lego Batman movie. So this might be pushed down. But for a movie that was $25 million.
Oh, yeah.
And exceeded expectations, going over $119 million. That's amazing. Amazing for this film. Can't wait for the sequel. Where they actually put them in space. They just start making up shit.
black girls in space.
The black women who worked on the mission to Mars, the colonization of Mars.
They go to Cybertron. Oh, let's go ahead and get into our next film.
This is where I'm unsure.
Well, Martin, go ahead and say what's
on your
mind.
I think it's a dog's purpose.
You think? Are you sure?
I'm not sure.
You want to stick with that, though?
Sure.
Fuck, I ain't got time for this. Yeah, you're right, goddammit. A Dog's Purpose, $10.8 million at the box office after 2 weeks, bringing in $32.9 million. Not crazy, crazy business, but enough to make it meet and exceed its budget of $22 million. Somebody says, yeah, that whole controversy. Throw that dog back in that water.
Yeah, fuck that dog.
Yeah, shit, that dog.
He dead.
Yeah, that dog. He's probably fine. Yeah, that, them throwing it. Because if you remember with this, they had a whole controversy of on the set, TMZ was there for some reason. You know they were uninvited, or they had people working the inside. And they filmed a dog being thrown into some water for a shot. That dog was in that water for probably about a minute at most, but people went crazy. And people were talking about, I'm boycotting the movie. They were encouraging people to not see the movie. And some people said, fuck that dog, man.
Yeah, I'm here to see these other dogs, the ones who do that job.
Some people probably said, hell, that dog made more money than I ever made.
Because I don't get it. It's like, well, they made the dog do something he doesn't want to do. That's what work is.
Yeah. I get up every morning and do what that dog doesn't like to do. You know, I go to work.
Yeah.
I'm that dog at 6 a.m. every morning.
Every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm drowning in misery every day. That dog gonna have to do it for a minute. Fuck that animal. And got paid more than I did last week.
Yeah, you know that's right.
Oh, some people who come up and again are talking about dogs can't cash checks. Shut the fuck. And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, on YouTube, we made a bunch of jokes about how that dog had a contract that had to do what he had to do. He made money, got a big check for it, and people are like, I'm sorry, but dogs can't sign contracts. And I'm like, you got to be fucking – somebody will throw you in water and leave you there. That's your goddamn mind. Yeah, it had nothing to do with this controversy. And I love dogs, absolutely love dogs, but that was a non-controversy if ever I've seen one. Yeah.
Especially considering you watch the movie and that shot is this long.
Yeah, exactly. Even though you could see they threw his ass in the water. You almost heard, no!
One way or another, you get in that water. We can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Had the booty man throw him in there. I see you chose the hard way. You was a warrior. Oh, Martin. I knew that this movie would be number two. Martin, what is it, sir?
Rangs.
Rangs and Thangs, Martin. Like, you know what, fuck that. I'm going to give this, because y'all shouldn't have done that shit. I'm going to give this a big old raspberry. No,
bitch, I heard it was not that bad. Or that the first half wasn't that bad.
Who you talking to, Will Valley?
No. I heard that the first half wasn't that bad, and the second half was just more like The Ring itself.
No, man, this movie is horrible.
Oh, really?
This movie is horrible. And this movie did not do, well, I ain't going to say anything. This movie made $13 million on its opening weekend on a budget of $25 million. That's $25 million wasted. Now, the movie's bad. And I'm not just doing this because I'm trying to come in and make a fun review by talking shit about a film. No, man. It's the problem with the film is that it's supposed to be, I think, sort of a backstory to Sonara, whatever her name is. But she already has a story.
Right.
So they're giving you more story just for the sake of making a movie. And then the thing ends up being like a murder mystery more than a ghost story. And there's dumb things in there where people are told, I said this in our review, where people are told, people who studied the myth of this, where they believe in it, they know it happens for real because now there's a college course teaching this and people trying it's stupid shit. And they're trying to figure out, if there's a soul after death or life after death. People know that she exists, and yet they still watch the tape. And when they're told 7 days up to the minute that you're going to die, people just happen to time it out to where they're in front of a TV, a big screen 4K TV, man. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. But something tells me you would like it.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's a shitty horror movie. You don't like you for some reason you got a track record with those things. I sat there and I'm like, you know something? I wish Martin was here because we'd have a great debate about this.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd be like, because I know what your thing would be like. You say, well, you know, this adds to the first movie.
This is actually what they
I'm a fan of any of these Ring movies.
That's why you would like this one, because you don't like the Blair Witch movies, but that Blair Witch one, you're like, but this explains everything for me. This is what I wanted. This is what I wanted. You're going to look at this and be like, see, this is what I want in the Onion Rings movie right here. You know, this is what I was looking for. It's a horrible movie, man. I don't think even you. I can't see you enjoying this shit at all.
I don't either, but.
But I'd be curious. And the thing with this film.
I think you'll have to just be curious for the rest of your life. There's some answers you will just never live to learn.
And people are asking for you to come see these movies, these horror movies on Friday. I'm like, y'all need to give that up. He ain't going. Martin ain't coming.
Well, I mean, even when you guys, most of the time when you're seeing them, I can't go. Or be there for the review.
Yes, he cannot be there for these reviews. He used to, but all of a sudden, we got Gertz in here like, yeah, you handle that shit.
Gertz likes these things.
He really does. He loves it. He loves it. Gertz loves going to these things.
But man, I was laughing about this over the weekend. When we came out of the screening that we were in and saw that this was planned right next door to where we were, y'all hadn't planned to go, but seeing as it was planned, Will Valley was there. You're like, well, guys, we might as well see it now. We can just go in. And Goodwin's like, yeah, okay, you're right, we're here. And y'all looked at Gertz, and Gertz had to look like that was the last thing he wanted to do. But he had no – he couldn't come up with any excuse not to do it. He said like,
He had that look like, this is the last thing I want to do. And we had that look like, but that is what you will do.
I know.
It was almost like a mob assassination. Like Goodwin was talking to Gertz in front. He's like, man, you want to go see this movie? And I came up right behind Gertz. And Gertz was looking around like, sure.
It's planned right now, so we don't have to do it tomorrow.
It was even at that point where I told Gertz, because he was like, I don't know. I was like, come on, man. Okay. This movie actually made less than the first Ring movie, which opened up at $15 million. And I don't know where you heard that it was good, but
I didn't hear good. I just heard that the first half of it wasn't that bad.
It's been destroyed by critics, and apparently people are getting tired of the audiences are getting tired of this too. I mean, they knew, because the second Ring was a horrible film,
right?
I think it was one of the worst movies of the year when we saw it. And my man Sammy put a fun fact in here. He says Disney's Hannah Montana concert tour movie is the top opening movie ever on a Super Bowl weekend with a gross of $31 million. So, damn. And Sammy was like, and I was there. Yes.
Super Bowl openings.
Let's go ahead and get into our last movie here, Martin.
Once again, Split.
Martin, you are correct, sir. The movie, the number one movie that is holding strong for weeks right now, is Split. M. Night Shyamalan is back on a budget. You know, you get that boy like less money, he does well.
But he's gonna get money next time.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about it.
You got your two good movies out of him.
But this movie, because this is gonna cross 100 million. It's doing better than the last movie, The Visit. This right here brought in $14.5 million after 3 weeks at number one. It's right at 98.7. The movie cost $9 million to make. And it's the highest grossing movie. Now, we're not that far ahead in 2017, but it's the highest grossing movie of 2017 so far. And says here, Sammy says that the Super Bowl weekend has only had 7 movies that have opened above $20 million, Kung Fu Panda 3 being the last movie to do so in its second week. So I really enjoyed this movie. I mean, I'm an M. Night Shyamalan fan. I love his early work. I'm not a hater on this guy. I dread what's about to happen next, because you're right, he's going to get the money. He's going to get that money, but right now, while he's working small.
So see, we had Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, and then it started going downhill from there. Because the next one was Signs, and then doop, 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 doop.
You were right.
He's coming back with The Visit and Split. What happens next?
That's The Last Airbender, Part 2. Oh, let's see. We do. Some of you are saying, man, you know what? I believe that there was another movie that opened up this weekend. What happened? You skipped over. You moved the numbers around. You did them wrong. No, people. I tell you.
You can go to Mars to get this number.
Ace of Butterfield in Space. Nobody wants to see that. And this was a bad movie, too. The Space Between Us opened up at number 6. Bombed. Opened up with $3.8 million. And that is on a $30 million budget. And I'm looking right here. It's severely, severely underperformed. People had predictions around $9 million. So it went far below what people were looking for this to do. Asa Butterfield's last space movie was
Ender's Game,
and that was not a big hit either. That kind of bombed. So, you know, keep this boy on Earth. know, nobody wants to see him out there. And that is the top five box office. And I'm going to go ahead and get into an email real quick. The Super Bowl is about to start for some people. And I'm happy to say right now, I'm looking at my email, we have fixed pretty much all the major bugs on the site. There's a couple of things that need to be added, but for the most part, all the major bugs on the site are done. They're finished. They're fixed. I think the only thing that we have left is nothing that you guys cared about. It was the bio pages, the pages about us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that whole thing about us submitting bios. Have we done that already?
I've done it like three times, I think. But let's just do it one more time.
Do you have the one? I don't even remember.
I was looking for them. You know, just say, hi, I'm Martin. You know, I'm a good guy. Just put something in there, you know. Hi, I'm Martin. Oh, yeah. I led an army of boys in the Congo, you know. I don't know, man.
I felt like this was like the least conspicuous thing I've ever worn, and you've gotten so much material out of it.
Man, they started it. I didn't mean to do it. The chat started it. Oh, this is Popcorn Pop. He says, can you guys explain why Americans love the Super Bowl? Is it the halftime show, the commercials, the sport? I don't get it. Is there gambling involved? Yes, there is. And what is fantasy football? It sounds stupid. Hey, man. Yeah,
okay.
Look.
Okay. The answer to your first part of your question is yes to all those. And the last part, what is fantasy football? It's Dungeons and Dragons for guys who don't want to admit that they're nerds.
It really is, man. It is the biggest nerdism ever. You know, think about it. Nerds, they go to big events dressed in colorful costumes, rooting for shit that they don't get paid for.
Well, you know, playing a board game with numbers, pretending that they are these action heroes.
Well, I'm talking about football itself. You got these football games where people go there, grown men and women, dressed up in body paint, dressed up as mascots, going there, raving over something at a big event where they don't get paid any money for it, but they have this incredible fanaticism about it. I mean, sports, and I think people are starting to realize that, like, sports fans are nerds, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm meeting more and more people who cop to it, you know, especially with fantasy football. They go like, yeah, it's like Dungeons and Dragons. But I still have some who go like, nah, man, it's not the same. I'm like, bullshit, it's not
bullshit.
The same.
In fact, I know, it's funny how that whole thing about nerds not knowing sports, because most of the nerds that I know are into sports. Mm. I mean, they for example, no offense, Chris, but you know, you kind of a geeky guy. All of us are geeky in here. You love sports, man, MMA and all that kind of shit. Hey, I'm with them.
Like,
man, I ain't like you. No, you know, it's kind of the same thing. And I mean, don't act like we're the ones that are going crazy over sports. Football, a.k.a. soccer around the world,
yeah.
People lose their mind over that.
Yeah,
people kill each other
over
there.
We don't have football hooligans.
Yeah, where they got to build a gate. Like, they have to build a wall to keep people from, like, killing each other. I mean, come on, man.
Right.
In Brazil,
if your team loses, you might get killed.
Yeah.
Assassinated.
They've done that. They've taken people. I think even Saddam Hussein took a couple of soccer players and broke their legs. It's crazy. It's sports is crazy to me. Any kind of fanaticism is crazy to me. And it's not. Let's not just pretend like it's sports. It's with a lot of things.
It is. It's weird to me that TMZ even exists. Like, just if we're going to follow around famous people and report on what they do.
Exactly.
Like, why?
Exactly. That's why. I mean, as much as I love movies, as much as I love comic books, I do. I mean, I know I've tried to play that out, but I do. I don't give a fuck, man. I don't follow anything that doesn't pay me. You know, I'm selfish. I am a selfish, egotistical prick, and I do not care about, like, sports. I don't give a fuck about sports. All this wee shit, and I'm not saying y'all shouldn't do it, but all this, you know, getting mad because my team didn't win. I don't see you wearing no fucking jersey out there catching
exactly.
a ball with them.
Yeah, we're just not making the plays like we need to.
Yeah.
Get back out there and do your job.
Yeah, exactly. Shit, if I do the same thing. Man, if Suicide Squad bombed and Martin said, man, we didn't make it, I'd be like, man, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about, we? When were you hanging out with the Joker? You know? I don't get it. Fanaticism of any kind, I don't get. You know, I don't – it's just not me. I don't give a fuck, man. And I enjoy sports, but I'm just you're not going to see me out there going crazy.
It's fun to watch when it's on, and then once it's over, I'm not thinking about it.
Yeah. Shit, some people love football teams more than their own families. This is crazy to me. Oh, crying and shit. When I look at Ray, what he crying over? You too, man. You too, Samuel, the Oakland Raiders. I hear him in the room because I see Ray when we're out places and he's watching the game and who's he? Green Bay? When Green Bay loses, he's like, oh man, oh shit, man. Like, man, I ought to beat your ass right now. I ought to give you something to cry about right now.
Give you something to cry about. You gonna take your belt off?
Yes. Yeah. How about that goddamn crying for some people don't give a fuck about you? Oh, no. I can understand being upset, but like, fuck, shit, nigga, life goes on. I said it once before, I'll say it again. If we lost our minds over shit like that, that really matters.
I know.
We heard about a bombing and some kids died. Like, oh, fuck, shit. Oh, God, what are we going to do? You know, react like that for some shit that matters. But because somebody missed a fucking ball. What the fuck? Okay, let me get on out of here with this shit. Yeah.
Oh, no, this team of millionaires will be paid less money now.
Anyway, yo, broke ass. Sitting up there crying. We are some of the biggest suckers, man. We really are. Oh, let's see here. Somebody said, I'm shocked that you didn't talk about this Super Bowl ad. What Super Bowl ad? Which one?
They don't put it
there. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I don't care about that. All right, this is going to be my last one right here. This is from somebody that I felt bad at one time. This is somebody that used to come out to our events when we were doing Spill, and this is someone that saw we were doing this, and they came in, and, you know, hey, look, it didn't bother me because I obviously kept doing it, but it was, you know, it was we went that rough period where before we started doing this, people like, yeah, I just don't understand what you're doing. I have people even came in and said, you know, I don't want to be mean, but honestly, I just don't think that this is something that's going to work. You know, I don't see what the appeal is. You know, and I was like, okay.
Hey, I get it.
Hey, I've heard it before.
Yeah. If you write it down on paper, it doesn't make sense to me either, but yeah. it does work. Bumblebee can fly.
Yeah, hey. I've heard it before and kept on going, and, you know, I'll probably do it again one day, but. And not this person didn't go that bad with it. Scott Johnson. You actually know Scott Johnson. You've seen Scott Johnson.
Yeah, I know I have.
Scott Johnson, let me see here. He says, you know me as a longtime fan. And I would put the email up, the numbers up there. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, why did I blank on his name? I'm just referring to him as something else. Okay.
He says, I was critical about Double Toasted. At first, I definitely want to give you all credit for coming around. The shows have been great. The subscription format works wonders. And I love catching segments on the websites and YouTube when I can. I want to ask a question related to UC Berkeley with the Milo Yiannopoulos thing going on. You know, the whole thing and being shut down and whatnot. And allowing provocateurs to speak. What is your threshold to give someone a voice who causes intentional harm? I know you all tried to talk about him, but I think there's some things you don't know about his history or tactics that are worth bringing up. And I also ask the question to you as someone who really tries to understand people. He says, back in the day, back in the Spill days, you want to try to talk to it. Oh, there was a guy named Romeo.
Oh, of course.
Romeo something.
Romeo Rose.
Romeo Rose. Romeo Rose was a dude who he was for about 3 or 4 days. He said some really racist shit and tried to play ignorant with it and whatnot, and it was bad. But he lives here. I don't know if he still lives here, but he lived here in Austin. And I said, man, I'll bring him on the show. Look, I'm a person who likes to talk to people with different ideas from me. I like to talk to people who most people don't want to hear speak. Most people are angry at. Most people want to discourage me from talking to because they don't like what that person says. I think I get more interesting conversations out of a person. I don't have to like them. I don't have to actually like what they say. But I do believe that people should be allowed to speak, and sometimes allowing people to speak. And this is why I always say this, because if you try to shut somebody down, I think you're doing you're doing more harm to yourself. I want to know where somebody's coming from. Mm-hmm. I want to leave somebody open to speak all they want to, because if once people are shut down and they go silent, not only does it make that other person look bad, or the people trying to shut them down look bad. But those people are going to go somewhere in secret, and we're never going to know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
I do not like that at all. And plus, I don't like – I see it all the time. People want the America that they want. Every time people – liberals and conservatives, people want something as long as it suits them. If somebody else is saying something they don't like, they want to shut them down. And that's not what America is. I don't like people talking about America, and we can't give free speech to everyone. That's a shitty thing. But as far as the threshold, and he says he also knows that I denounce Alex Jones because some of the things that he says, and I think that he's a phony. And then Alex Jones, I don't think Alex Jones should be censored. I don't think Alex Jones is anybody that's – I don't think he's inherently, I don't think he's a bad person, but I think he spreads some rhetoric around that is harmful, and I think he should be allowed to say it, because when people are allowed to say those things, they can be challenged on it.
Sure.
You know, he was the one I was talking about that, and if this is true, I read this, and it might not be true, so if it's not, I'm sorry, but he was the one I was talking about how the Sandy Hook shootings where people lost their children. He's part of that whole crazy group of people who are conspiracy theorists about it, that no kids died. The government did this whole thing to take away people's gun rights. You're a complete piece of shit if you think that. You are. And Alex Jones is a person that we've known. And if he really believes that, he's a piece of shit for believing it. Well, but I believe he should say it if he wants.
Well, I also think you're a piece of shit if you're leading other people to go along with that, especially if you know better and you know it's not true, but it's a way to get ratings or get, you know, more followers.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly why, because you know Alex Jones, all that crazy shit he does, you know that's not him.
Yeah, I mean everybody in Austin who knows Alex Jones knows that this whole act is that he's full of shit.
Now, he gets drunk sometimes on his show maybe and goes off on these little crazy rants, but when you pull Alex Jones aside, that is not him. That is not him. Don't let the motherfucker is a performance artist. He's not. No, I'll put his page up, and anybody who doesn't know who he is,
but a lot of people follow him, like, they think he's legit.
That's the harmful part of it. Mm-hmm. And again, I think he should be put out there. The more popular, the better, as long as people can counter him. You know, there's enough people or more to counter him. I like Alex Jones. I do. The guy's been a nice guy to me. I've always encouraged him to do what he wants to do. But sometimes with this crazy shit right here, he can go too far. And all that shit he does on camera, screaming and hollering and going, turning red in the face, that's bullshit, people. I'm telling you right now, don't fall for that shit. You know, it's worse because it's all an act for ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all these people do. These Rush Limbaughs and O'Reilly's out.
This whole takeover he's been talking about for the last 25 years. How come it hasn't happened yet?
What, him?
No, him. Talking about the New World Order and the conspiracies and all this. And this is going to happen. It's happening right under your nose, people. And it's like, okay, it's been a quarter of a century. It hasn't happened. So what have you been talking about?
This son of a bitch been talking about Darth Vader and the Empire going to take over for years.
Yeah.
He talks like they actually building a Death Star out there somewhere. He's doing it. All these crazy conservative guys who put these crazy ideas out there, maybe some unbelievable, but a lot of them are doing it because they know their audience and they know how to get them.
Sure.
Money.
And it's a real easy technique of preaching conspiracy and doom and gloom. And when it never happens, nobody ever calls you on it. Nobody says, like, hey, man, you said this was going to happen. They either they blow it off, or they're like, well, they're happy that it didn't happen, so they don't even remember it.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck it. My threshold is...
It's a coward's way of doing things.
Yeah. What's your threshold for people being able to speak their mind?
I don't know. You know, with somebody who I know is just going to troll and only present... If I think somebody can actually have a real conversation, you kind of turn me around on having anybody in. But I think if somebody wants to come just to spew their platform and nothing else, I'd just soon not do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I have a problem. Like, when you want to have Romeo Rose in here, when we have guests in, I don't want to be rude to the guests. But at the same time, I don't want to pretend like I like somebody who I really can't stand.
I don't care if you get rude with Romeo Rose, you know.
I know.
Shit, I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to have you come in here and, like, please give this racist a please and a thank you.
No, I know. And I wouldn't. But I wouldn't feel good about it. I mean, I'd do it, but I wouldn't feel good about it.
No, I mean, like I said, if he wants to go out there and get crazy, I'll get crazy with him. But, you know, let's go ahead.
Sure.
Because I feel like we crazy people like that, I can't expose them. I mean, I'm going to get to a point, I'm just going to annoy the fuck out of them. They'll come out and show you who they are. I got that gift to annoy the shit out of people. That said, we're out of here, people. It's almost Super Bowl time. We had a good time with you today. And I just want to remind everybody, keep going over to dtmerch.com. Got some new shirts coming up for you, some limited edition shirts, followed by more soon. Going to be in Dallas, February 18th. February 18th, we start at 6 p.m. for the live show. Go on till 8 p.m. Going to take a break. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to pick it back up and hit three more bars. Go to Party DT. It'll take you to the Eventbrite page. And over there, you will be able to offer donations to us so that we can carry all of our equipment there and get an Airbnb for us to store that stuff in. You don't want us carrying this stuff around drunk because we'll lose it. And if we lose it, no more shows. And you don't want that. And with that said, let me see here. Martin, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. For being here. I appreciate it. I want to thank everybody for coming in on Super Bowl Sunday. I want to thank you for the cookies. Y'all ain't had all those cookies yet, have you?
Yeah,
okay. Adam, you don't play like that. I'll squeeze them cookies out.
We have our individual boxes.
What's that?
I think we have our individual boxes.
Oh, our individual boxes. Thank you
so much. Color-coded and everything.
Thank you so much for always bringing those in.
I know.
They're my favorite
really
cookies.
Sweet of you guys.
That really is. And... oh, you know, normally today I would tell you to go over to doubletoasted.com, and I'm still going to tell you to do that and check out our live streams. I'm going to cut it short today. Go over there, check out our live streams, and a lot of more interactivity when you watch a live stream. And you can try that service out 7 days for free. If you don't like it, you can stop at any time. But, hey, stick around the site because in our archives we have some free audio for you and some other free things, a free show here and there. Or you can go to SoundCloud. Over on SoundCloud we have all of our audio archived there for you. And when you listen to us, you get us paid, but you can get paid too. So stop sitting on that podcast. Stop sitting on that music. Share it with the world and get those.
Fat, are you ready for the football checks?
Checks, yes, people. And that is it. 5 minutes left, so let me get on out of here. That will give us just enough time, Martin, to tell the people. Next time, I'm going to let you slide this time, but stop hiding, stop lurking, stop being shy. Join us for a show by typing in for us, kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz@gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Not going to be a part of the show today. It's too late. We're gone. We got to get out of here. But we got more shows coming up. And you can do so by in an email, putting your phone number in there, putting your Skype contact in there, pressing hallelujah, Martin, bam, up in your home, talking to you, the only pastor in the world that do house calls. On Twitter at kcoolman, on Instagram at Double Toasted Fan Page, on Facebook, type in Double Toasted. Want some private time with me? Type in Corey Coleman. That's with a K. If I'm too busy, Mr. Thomas.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Martin_NoFro, or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. And while you're there, check out the group and join the refugees. I'm sorry, the Children of the Toast, but also the Refugees of Spill, and go Falcons.
And people, if you get time, you know you're going to be visiting Austin. We make it sound so good, so nice. But if you're going to be here, I expect you to come to the world-famous Double Toasted Studios by emailing me at kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz@gmail.com. You're going to be visiting Austin. You're going to be moving to Austin. You already live here, you sneaky bastard. Stop doing that and let us know you're going to come see a show and make yourself known. Give me some details, and that way I can accommodate you. And now we are out of here, people. The only thing to say to you is enjoy your football Sunday. Enjoy the game. Hope you have fun. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whenever you are listening to or watching this, goodbye. And what you going to do? Stay toasty.